Good morning. Good morning, Clark Croft United Methodist Church, and all those that, without coming in, usually follow us on Facebook and on the web. It seems strange today for you that are regulars here be watching us on live stream, and of course it is very strange for me not to see you guys here. But still, I am happy to know a lot of you have called and said you would be watching, and of course, it is not for me, but it is your faithfulness to the Word of God what is established here today. Even if we're not here, we're still the church. So welcome. Let us open up with a word of prayer. Lord of all, your love, which breathed this world into being, established and established as a covenant of people, brought them out of captivity and into promised land. Hallelujah to your name. Your love, which from the moment of our birth has known and called us by name from out of this world's slavery into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah to your name. Your love poured into the heart of Jesus, who endured the nails of our sins, defeated death to rise again, and caused our hearts to sing. Hallelujah to your name. Heavenly Father, cover this service with your Holy Spirit and all those who are watching from their homes today. In Jesus' name we pray, as we put this service in your hands. Amen. Scripture today comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 6, 17 and 18, and it reads, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In simple words, God does not lie. He also has not been caught by surprise by this virus or the way we are reacting to it or how long it will take to overcome it or the final outcome of it. All the trajectory of these next days are already in God's hands and they have not been a surprise to the Lord. He does not make promises he can't keep. He does not allow his only son to be sacrificed simply to take hold of one part of our lives and ignore the other. He is a God of comfort. And at this time, we need comfort and we need peace. And these are the two things that God will give you if you just ask. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection was everything that it took to save all of us and all his people. Not just some of them, but all who believed in him. We need to hold fast to this promise because we are children of God. And because we might feel afraid now and influenced by people or the news, that doesn't shake who we are. We are still the children of God. And he holds us, each one of us, in his hands. So we ask, why is Paul telling us to hold fast to our hope if Jesus has already handled all this thing? Hebrews 6:18, if our holding fast was attained and permanently secure by the blood of Jesus, why do we have to hold fast? Well, we hold fast because we hold fast in faith. And in faith, we exercise it all the time. A devotion sent to me by a friend this week put it like this. What Christ bought for us when he died was not the choice to hold fast, but the power to hold fast. What he brought was not the nullification of our wills as though we didn't have to hold fast, but the empowerment of our wills so that we want to hold fast. What he bought was not the canceling of the commandment to hold fast, but the fulfillment of the commandment to hold fast. What he bought was not the end of encouragement, but the triumph of encouragement. Jesus gave his life for us so we could find encouragement and hope in Paul's steps. It's always kind of hard just to go back and read the letters of Paul or any other of the Gospels and try to connect ourselves exactly to them. But I think that there is a lot that we can learn from those things that were written so long ago because they are words of encouragement. Philippians 3:12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So what I hear is when everything else is falling around you, you still hold on to faith and you hold to your faith tight. We must press on during these difficult times, holding fast to our faith when we fail to understand why things are happening the way they are. This is a question that it's being asked constantly. Well, why is this happening? Nobody has an answer. But it is a time in which we all need to hold fast to our faith. We must hold fast to our faith when we are not able to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Not yet. But it will come. And it will come at the appointed time. And like the word of God, something will be accomplished from all this tragedy and death and illness. We must hold fast to our faith because we know that God will bring good out of a bad situation. You know, I kind of like wasn't sure if I wanted to put this in my sermon, but I really believe it. And how could I talk to you about holding on to your faith if I don't tell you what I believe in? Bad things are going to happen to good people. This is not a punishment from God. This is not brought in to teach a lesson, like some people would like to think, because we have gone so far away from God. Our mind, our limited minds are not able to say, oh yes, this is what is happening, and this is how long it's going to take, and this is what it takes to fix it. But I do believe, because I have seen it in my own life, that out of the ashes, God will bring hope. God will bring something good that we can use to go forward. Whatever is happening today is not a surprise to God. And remember that before we ask, he answered. And before we spoke, he heard us. We must hold fast because we are called children of God, and we have been promised eternal life in the presence of Almighty God. We all want to be healed. We all want to survive. We have things to do. I have grandchildren that, of course, as my oldest grandchild, you know, gets to be 16 now, I'm saying, well, Lord, let me live until she graduates. And then when she graduates, I'm going to say, oh, Lord, I need to live until she gets her PhD. And then when she does that, I'm saying, I need to see my grandchildren. So, you know, we're always going to be raising the bar. But we also have to rely and be secure and rest on the fact that we have always known that we're passing through here. This is not our eternal home. And where we'll be sad to leave and sad to let go. Our eyes cannot be fixed on our last day. Our eyes need to be fixed today on living to the best of our ability with the faith of God today. So as we go forward, keep your eyes on the promises of God, on the promise of eternal life, and then pray. Pray that each day God will give you enough strength and enough wisdom to continue. We must hold fast to our faith because we know that God will bring something good out of this situation. We must hold fast because, yes, we are called the children of God, and he knows us by name. We must hold fast because we know that God brings to completion the work that he has started in us. So when I think of that, I think, well, I believe that I still, even at my age, have a lot of ministry in me. I believe that a lot had taught me a lot of things that I still feel that I can move forward and be of significance in God's kingdom. Well, the same thing is for you. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to walk on water. You don't have to build buildings. You just have to turn around and see who needs your help on the sides of you. At this time, we are asked to keep a distance. By all means, keep distance. But you can pick up your phone. You can call your neighbor. You can say, I just wanted to know how you were doing. And that is a way in which we can reach out and bring the word of God to completion in each one of us. We adapt. We are not the same today as we were 50 years ago, 30, 20, not even 10, not even 4. We're constantly changing. And the opportunity to minister and the opportunity to help others is constantly changing with us. Reach out by phone, reach out by email. Let others know that you're thinking of them. And definitely, reach out in prayer. His word will not return to him void. Let me close with this story that I hope will bring encouragement to your heart and help us all to hold fast to our Creator. A small congregation in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains built a new sanctuary on a piece of land willed to them by a church member. 10 days before the new church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that the parking lot was inadequate for the size of the building, and that until the church doubled the size of the parking lot, they will not be able to use the new sanctuary. Unfortunately, the church, with its undersized parking lot, had used every inch of their land except for the mountain against their backyard. They had built the sanctuary, and right behind them was this mountain. In order to build more parking space, they will have to move the mountain out of the backyard. Undaunted, the pastor announced the next Sunday morning that he will meet that evening with all members who had mountain-moving faith. They would hold a prayer session asking God to remove the mountain from the backyard and to somehow provide enough money to have it paid and painted before the scheduled opening dedication service the following week. At the appointed time, 24 of the congregation's 300 members assembled for prayer. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. At 10 o'clock, the pastor said a final amen. "We'll open next Sunday as scheduled," he assured everyone. "God has never let us down before, and I believe he will be faithful this time too." The next morning, as he was working in his study, there came a loud knock on his door. When he called, "Come in," a rough-looking construction foreman appeared removing his hat as he entered the office. "Excuse me, Reverend, I'm from Acme Construction Company, over in the next county. We are building a huge new shopping mall over there, and we need some fill dirt. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that mountain behind the church? We'll pay for the dirt, and we'll remove and pave all the exposed area free of charge. If we can have it right away, though, we can't do anything until we get the dirt in and allow it to settle properly." The little church was dedicated the next Sunday as originally planned, and there were far more members with mountain-moving faith on opening Sunday than the Sunday the previous week. This is the faith we need right now. We need mountain-moving faith. We need that faith that comes out of you when your child is sick or when your spouse is ill, when things are changing in life, when you're losing your parents, when you don't know what to do, and you just feel this bubbling thing coming up and the desire just to hold on to Jesus because nothing else will do. This is what we need right now. We need mountain-moving faith within all of us. This is the faith we need to hold fast to today, whatever happens, whatever times it takes, or how many will be touched by the illness at this time. This is the time for faith-moving prayer. There are three things I'd like to encourage you to do. One is to hold fast to faith in God. Understand, he got this. Even if we don't understand him, God got this. Pray that this situation will turn around soon. Pray for all those affected, all those at the front line, covering your family in prayer also. So how do we cover our family? How do we cover the first responders? How do we cover our town? You don't have to sit down and go through a litany of prayers. You just have to sit down, kneel, whatever makes you comfortable, and have that one-on-one with God. You don't have to be eloquent. You just have to say, "Jesus, help us." But you have to start somewhere. And believe me, the Holy Spirit, as you do this, will give you words and will take your prayer up to heaven. Even if you don't know how to pray, your prayer will reach the ears of God. Second, regardless of how safe you personally feel, regardless of the stories you believe or don't believe, for the sake of others, follow the guidelines given to us to stay healthy and safe. This is not a time for pride, not a time for politics, not a time to prove how right you are and how wrong the others are. This is a time for unity, a time for prayer, and a time to respect other people's spaces. You are the owner of your own body. You are the owner of your own space. But having said that, I have to be aware of the people that are around me, and I have to be respectful of their wishes. We on our own are no match for this virus, but the virus is not match for our God either. He has been defeated already, he just doesn't know it. Hold on to what you know in your heart to be your protector, and that is Jesus Christ. Search for his promises as they are for you, and they are for you now. Speak them out loud, sing them if you can, post them around your house if you need a visual reminder of how much he loves you. I have posters in my refrigerator, my bathroom, my vanity mirror, my door. I have on the garage door as I go out to my car, because even though that I'm praying, I still need that. It's like a computer pop-up. Pop, here's the word of God. And it allows me to connect again. It allows me to undergirth myself with hope. And it allows me to reach out to God one more time. Jesus, help us. Then trust God. He has given you a sound mind. Yes, even at our age, God has given us a sound mind. So give thanks and pray. Give thanks and pray. For regardless of what is happening around us today, today is the will of God for us all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us to make it through difficult times. Thank you that it is you and you alone who carry us through the uncertain of the deep waters, through the flames of trials, and through the pain of hard losses. We pray to be constantly aware of how much we need you, need your grace, your strength, your power working through us, even on the toughest days. Always help us to keep our focus first on you. Thank you that you came to give new life, peace, hope, and joy. Thank you that your power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Thank you for your reminder that both in seasons of celebration and in seasons of brokenness, you're still with us, for you will never leave us or forsake us. We choose to press in close to you today and keep you first in our hearts and lives. Without you, we will surely fail, but with you, there is great hope. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for walking with us on these days ahead. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Grace that taught my heart.
before I dismiss our service, I want to tell you that the music that you have heard has been sung by our choir director, Julie Gillette. She is not only talented, but she's very gifted. And that's who you heard singing. I'm sure you thought that it was me, but no, let me give the credit to Judy. She certainly deserves it. Also, this is the first time that we're actually trying to speak directly to you. Usually when we stream on Sundays, the service goes on and you are just catching us on our movement and on the things that we have planned. So give us some grace for all the mistakes that we have made today, and please share with us where we can improve. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be among you and remain with you always. Have a wonderful and safe week. God bless you all.